Tene koutou e tene atu. Good morning, church. It's such a real pleasure to be with you today. And I'm going to continue with our September theme of Anchored in the Word. If you're looking for a title today, I think we'll call it Let's Feast. Now, as many of you know, I'm at Bible College. I'm in my third year of study, and the journey there began for me a few years ago at Inspire Conference. And through the weekend, I felt God saying to me, set yourself apart for me and come and get deeper into the Word. And it felt like a huge challenge for me, because at the time my son Tristan was less than a year old and my daughter Lily was under three. And those of you that are parents know how hard it is to do anything on little sleep. And when you've got your hands full with these beautiful little ones, I honestly felt I was at capacity. But I still had this feeling that I should do it. So I chatted to Pastor Don and Julia, and it's always a great idea when you feel God directing you into something new to have a chat to your pastors about it or your leaders. And after talking to them, I decided to step out and to enroll in my graduate diploma. And it's been amazing. It's been a real joy, but it's also been a stretch. And you know, God is so faithful. He has been in the stretch and he has increased my capacity far beyond that which I thought I was capable of. But listen, you don't have to have a degree to study the Word of God. This is the Word of God to you. My study was a specific calling, part of my purposes in him. Now, this Bible is a divine book. It is God-breathed. It tells us in 2 Timothy 3:16 to 17 that all scripture is God-breathed. It's useful for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, for training in righteousness, so that you, the servant of God, may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. This is his word for you, so that you can live life with him. God is a relational God, and he wants to connect with you through his word. I remember being a young Christian and I'd just been baptized in water and in the Holy Spirit, and it was so exciting to get into the Word for me. It was like it was jumping off the pages. It came alive as the Spirit of truth guided me in all truth. And the Bible, as well as being a spiritual book, is also a human book. It was written by people under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And as such, we need to use our brains to help us understand them. You know, God has given us intellect so that we can understand and interpret that human element in this book. So as I said, it was written by people, and those people lived a long time ago in an ancient world. This Bible was written over a period of about 1500 years. And so those people lived in a different culture, in a different place in the world. They had a different worldview. Their socioeconomic situation was different. The geography was different. So we've got to pause when we're reading the book sometimes and think about, well, what would it have meant to them before we then try to interpret it for us? But a lot of the words in here we can directly transfer, like the Ten Commandments, for example, thou shalt not murder. That's true today. The fact that Jesus is the Son of God who came to die for our sins so that we could be reconnected with Father God, that is an unchanging truth. But there are also some tricky chapters in here that need a little bit of further study, and they're great to look at as part of deeper our monthly discipleship or in your I groups to study them. But I also want to help you and give you a few tips to study the Word yourself, because this is the book for you. So if you're really serious about getting into the Word, there's lots of things that can help you with that. Here I've got just a couple of books. I'm into books. You can find lots on the internet. There are lexicons, there are Bible dictionaries, there are books telling you a little bit about what it was like in the times, like this one here, like Jesus through Middle Eastern eyes. You can look at Bible atlases. You can look into the languages. The Bible's written in ancient languages in Hebrew and Greek. So you can look at how those words have been interpreted. But for most of us, we don't have time to go through all of that. So I'm going to show you just a few things that have really helped me to get into the Bible and to read it a little bit deeper using just the Bible. So we're going to go to my favorite gospel. It's the Gospel of Luke. And Luke, like me, was a scientist. He was a doctor and a historian. And I just love the richness that he adds to his gospel and all the facts and things that he puts in. It really helps my understanding. And we're in chapter 4 of Luke's gospel and verse 18. And I'm just going to read it to you. It says this: "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Amen. Such an awesome chapter. And if you're like me, you probably have read this more than once. And I find that when I read something over again, I find that my brain just kind of skips past it. So we're going to stop, take a breath, get intentional, and use our brains to find out a little bit more about the context around here. Now, I like to get myself into the scene, and I do that by asking the Holy Spirit to guide me and then look around it for the context. I ask questions like, where did this happen? And sometimes you've got to flick back a few pages to find the location. Here it's just in chapter 16. It tells me that this was Nazareth. It was the Sabbath day and in the synagogue. Then I like to think, well, who was there? Well, I know Jesus was there because the writing in my Bible is red and he said it. And I can kind of deduce that the disciples would have been there because they were followers of Jesus, and it doesn't tell me that they weren't there. And also, it's the Sabbath day, it was the day of rest, and at the synagogue, so the Jewish people of Nazareth would have been there too. But what would it have been like? Well, I know that in those times, the synagogue would have been a sort of rectangular building. Because this is Nazareth, my Bible Atlas tells me that Nazareth was a small farming village, and there would have been about 200 to maximum 400 people. And because it's the Sabbath, the Jews would come and meet in the synagogue. And I kind of imagine it sort of being like church, where there's a chatter as people, it's their day off, they're chatting and catching up. And then there would be an air of reverence and anticipation as people waited to hear the word of God. And because Jesus is speaking and he's a local boy, they'd be thinking, what's he going to say? There's a bit of curiosity around that too. I can deduce a little bit more from the chapter by looking just in verse 17. It tells me that Jesus is reading from the scroll of the prophet Isaiah. And I know this verse quite well, but it tells me really helpfully in the margin of my Bible that this came from Isaiah 61, verses 1 and 2. So the Bible is a unified story. It starts in Genesis and it ends in Revelation. So all of it, there's threads all the way through that can tell us about God and his dealings with his people. So I'm going to go back to Isaiah and look at what Jesus is quoting. And I see it in verses 1 and 2, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me." And I see here that there's a bit missing. Jesus had mentioned in Luke about the oppressed being set free, but I can't see it here. And there's a little note back there that tells me that he's actually talking from Isaiah 58, verse 6. And it's always good to have a look at the chapters around the verse you're reading to get the context of what's happening. So in Isaiah 58, there's a lot of rebuke going on. And back even still in 57, I can see that God is really telling off the people of Israel. If I come back to Isaiah 58, verse 6, it says this: "Is not this the kind of fasting I've chosen, to loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of yoke, and set the oppressed free?" That was our verse. "And break every yoke." So there's something going on here. The Jewish people aren't doing what they were supposed to be doing. They're not fulfilling the law. And I know it tells me in Mark 12, verses 30 to 31, that the law is summed up by Jesus as loving God and loving people. So from these verses, I can see that they're not doing that. They've made their faith religion and ritual and not kindness. But then I see in chapter 60, the tone changes And it says in chapter 60, verse 1, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises on you." There's a hope, there's a future hope, something's coming. And then coming back to Isaiah 61, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me." So I'm beginning to get a picture of what's going on here. But in verse 2, it says something, "This year of the Lord's favor," and I'm not quite sure what that means. So I have a little note here that that is quoting something else, Leviticus 25. As I say, it's a unified story, so you'll find threads all the way through it. I'm going to go back to Leviticus 25 and see what's going on here. Ah, it says this, "The year of Jubilee." And as I look through, and you can take your time to do this on your own, it's talking about a year of release, of debts being forgiven, of restoration, of freeing captives. And this happened every 50 years. So why is Jesus quoting this here, this time of Jubilee, this time of debts forgiven, of slaves released? So I come back to Luke, to our chapter, original chapter, and I have a look further around here, and it tells me just a few verses down in verse 21. Jesus says this, "And he began by saying to them, 'Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing.'" So Jesus is saying something quite astonishing here, and the Jews would have taken it as something astonishing. He's saying that he is the Messiah. He is the one that's going to bring the change and do what the Jewish people are not doing. Remember, they weren't fulfilling the law. He's saying that he is bringing good news, that a Jubilee year is coming. The favor of the Lord is here. The Messiah is here. Salvation is in here. And with my spirit stirring with those thoughts and thinking about the context of where we are and picturing myself in the scene, I imagine Jesus looking right at me, take a breath, say, "Spirit, lead me," and I come back to the scripture. Luke 4:18, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, the recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And you know, church, no matter how many times you've read the scriptures, if you pause and you read this, something can catch your heart. It could be that God is saying to you, "The Spirit is on you." It could be that he's saying to you today that he has anointed you with a purpose. It could be that he's saying he wants to free you from pain and hurt. It could be that he wants to deliver you from oppression. It could be that he's declaring to you today that this is the year of the Lord's favor. And that is his personal Rhema word for you, his living word. Take it, hold on to it. It's your daily bread. And I find this such a powerful way to read the Bible. It stirs my spirit. It feeds my soul. And I really encourage you to try it, to get deeper into the word. You know, the Bible is not supposed to be boring. It's not supposed to be a religious thing to read it. It's supposed to be that living word. And I encourage you to feast on it. It's food for your soul. And you know, we will starve if we go Sunday to Sunday only getting the word in us from what the preacher is saying. You know, that's their revelation, and we can catch it and be encouraged by it. But get the word for you. It's what God wants for you, that daily word. So that's my first point. Read the word of God, and reading it releases a specific word for you, your daily bread that feeds your soul. Now, as well as feeding your soul, Dawn was talking to us last week about being anchored in the world and word, and we had that beautiful picture of the boat staying firm in the storm. And gosh, this year has been a storm with its ever-shifting goalposts and fear of not just the virus, but the unknown. And we've all been locked down at home with the reliance on social media for our contact with each other. And you know, there's been some great things about that. I've loved Zooming with my friends and chatting on it. But there's also been some huge challenges. I just felt, honestly, bombarded with information, and it's really hard to know what's true and what's not true. And during the first lockdown, I began to feel such anxiety building in me, with all the scaremongering, the misinformation, the sensationalism. I began to feel myself fearing. And you know, when I identified that I was fearing, I started to think, well, what's behind this? You know, church, we have a very real enemy, and he comes to spread doubt and fear. And he's working behind the scenes in all these situations to bring that doubt and fear. So we've got to stop and think, well, what do we do about it? How do we counter it? So I'm going to come back to chapter 4, the beginning of chapter 4. And we have Jesus. He's just been baptized in water and in the Spirit, and he's been led into the desert. He's been tempted for 40 days and nights, and at the end of it, it says he's tired and hungry. And who knows that the enemy tends to come at you when you're at a low point. And he tempts him, firstly, offering him food and really challenging his identity. The second time, he offers him possession, saying, if you just bow down and worship me, you can have all this. And twice, those twice, Jesus counters him with the word of God. But I want to focus on the third temptation, which is in verse 9. It says this: the devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down from here, for it is written. This is the enemy quoting the Bible. He will guard his angels concerning you. He will guard you carefully, so they lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against the stone. It's interesting that the enemy is quoting this verse, because it's such an encouraging verse about God's protection. And it tells me on the side here that this psalm that the enemy is quoting is Psalm 91. And if you want to go back and have a look at it, you'll find that Psalm 91 is all about God's protection and how he'll be with us in times of trouble. What it doesn't say in Psalm 91 is, hey, jump off the cliffs and see if God will rescue you. That would be stupid. And I love what Shane Willard said. He often says, God doesn't bless stupid. As I said at the start, God has given us a brain, and he doesn't say in anywhere in this chapter that he's looking to have big showy displays of his power. No, it's all that he is with you, and it's that assurance that he's with you. It's not about power displays. And Jesus knows this because he knows the word in context, and he responds saying this: it says, meaning the Bible, do not put the Lord your God to the test. Jesus knows who he is. He knows his purpose in God, and he knows that what the enemy is quoting here is wrong. Okay? And we need to be really careful, church. Just because someone speaks out scripture doesn't mean that it's the truth. Even the enemy can do that. Matthew 24 talks about a time like today when there's lots of uncertainty, there's misinformation, there's rumor and falsehoods. And in verse 4, Jesus says this: watch out that no one misleads you. You know, today, everybody with an opinion can have a platform, and we've got to be very careful about what we're listening to and what we're taking on and what we're spreading. There's been lots of people on YouTube and on social media calling themselves prophets and doing just what the enemy did here, misquoting scripture. And the enemy can use that to bring doubt, bring fear, and judgment. It's not the freedom and favor that Jesus spoke about in Luke 4:18. Part of our purpose, church, is to bear the image of God, to bring hope, to bring truth, to bring light, to counter the doubt and fear that the enemy brings. So knowing the word of God and knowing the scripture in context brings us hope and truth for us and those around us, and it helps to defeat the enemy. Our theme this month in the anchor and being anchored in the word gives us this picture of being held in place. But I want to also give you another picture about the anchor, and it's in Ephesians 6. Again, this is a chapter that most of you will know quite well. Chapter 6 is basically Paul's summary of everything that he said before in Ephesians. So do go back and read it. It's one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. If we have a look at verse 10, it tells us that we're in the heading of the armor of God. And I'm going to read from verse 11 to 14a. It says this: "Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against the flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist." Church, that anchor is all around you. It's encompassing you. You buckle it around your waist at the center of your being. And you know, we need to put it on daily so that we can put it with the rest of the armor to help us stand firm in these days and to measure the things that we see, that we hear, that we read under the truth of God. We need to know our word. We need to ask the Holy Spirit for discernment, that we can be the people of God, the people of truth, and vanquish the attacks of the enemy. Stand firm, church, with the word of God tightly around you. It says in the Old Testament, I think it's the King James Version, it girds you, gird it around you. And I want to finish by encouraging you that getting into the word, that reading the word isn't too hard for you. This book was written for you. Come with me to Deuteronomy. Again, we're in one of my favorite chapters. And the book of Deuteronomy finishes what's called the Torah, the book of instruction, which is the first five books of the Bible. And the context here is that Moses is speaking to the people of Israel and encouraging them that they can live as the people of God, that they can obey him and his command. And it says this in chapter 30, verse 11. "Now, what I'm commanding you today is not too hard for you or beyond your reach. It is not up in heaven so that you have to ask who will ascend to heaven and get it and proclaim it to us so we can obey. Nor is it beyond the sea that we have to ask who will cross the sea to get to it and proclaim it to us so we may obey. No, the word is very near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart so that you may obey." Church, we have everything we need to live as a people of God. He's given us everything. His mysteries are revealed in this book, and he's given us a brain to understand and the Holy Spirit to guide us. Jesus has allowed us to be his people through his work on the cross, and we are people of the truth with the word in our hearts and our mouth and the Holy Spirit within us. Let's build our lives on this foundation of his word, that we can live in a way that's pleasing to him, our best life, reaching out to those around us with love and compassion and running our races to completion. I just want to pray for you today. For those of you that don't really know this Jesus person, can I really encourage you to get into the Bible, to read one of the Gospels? Luke's my favorite, as I said, but the Gospel of John, I remember reading that as a new Christian, and it was just really easy for me to understand. You know, the Bible says, "Seek and you will find." And if you start to read and you ask God to reveal himself to you, he is faithful and he will. For those of you that heard me saying about being baptized in water and the Spirit, we have water baptisms coming up soon at church. Please get in touch with us if you're interested. And if you haven't been baptized in the Spirit, can I tell you that that is a gift open to all believers? It's something that God died to give you. Jesus died to give you that, and he wants for you to be baptized. And can I just pray for you? Lord God, for those that haven't had a touch of your Spirit, Father, will you touch them now in Jesus' name, that they may know your guidance, your hope, and your comfort. And I pray, Lord, Father, that you just open their hearts to the revelation that you do live within us, Lord. And I pray that power of the Spirit upon them now in Jesus' name. And for those of you that have been impacted by the season that you've been fearing and anxious, can I just pray for you? Lord God, I pray that, God, you would restore peace where there has been fear and anxiety. Lord God, I pray, Father, that you would just surround those with your love and compassion and help them to see, God, that there is hope in you, Lord God, and that we do not need to fear. Will you calm their fear in Jesus' name? And for those of you that are unwell, if you're sick in your mind and your emotions or in your body, can I just pray for you? Lord God, I thank you for these people. I thank you that your word says that you are the God that heals. And I pray your healing right now upon your people, that you were sent for them to bring healing in Jesus' name. And I pray for all of you that you may know the year of the Lord's favor. It may be a really difficult shifting season, but God is good. And I declare of all of us that this is the year of the Lord's favor. We have hope in him. And God, may we all be people of your word. May it be like honey to us. May we delight in you daily. Father, feed our souls with your word, I pray, and help us to be people that reflect you in this world. God bless you, church. Amen.
Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. We pray that you would activate something in your life and shift your life towards Jesus. If you like what you heard and you want to hear more, just click follow. We love you. Have a blessed week.